This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
It's Bleck and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Bleck and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
It's Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. All right. So we have some sports to talk about. We'll get to that, right? But we need to start with remembering the life of George Floyd and supporting the peaceful protesters out there. Because we walk in this morning, Abdallah, and downtown Chicago is not what we're used to seeing. No. After a night of chaos in the downtown loop area. Just insane. Walking in, driving in, seeing all the damage. And it really took me aback this morning, seeing all the chaos from last night.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people know what it's like on the by watching the news. You know, people are tweeting us and asking us if the studio is fine. Yes, our studios are fine. The ABC building is fine. Macy's across the street is not, as you've seen on the news. You know, a lot of businesses in the loop on the Magnificent Mile in the South Loop where you live, Chris. A lot of those buildings were looted yesterday by the rioters that were around after the peaceful protest ended. You know, yesterday in the afternoon, there were peaceful protesters around the country. And then it changed to looting and rioting and chaos, as you said. It's sad to see that the message that the protesters here in Chicago, here in Minnesota, around the country, is somewhat being lost because of the chaos. That now the narrative is flipped to the cleanups and what happens today around the country and the response from, you know, law officials and police and the mayors and governors and everything. And what's being lost is why the protesters were out in the first place. Yeah. And that is police brutality, the death of George Floyd, the death of many others like George Floyd around the country. And black people are fed up. And I don't blame them. And I, you know, as most of the country did yesterday, a lot of thinking. And I'm not black. You're not black. It couldn't be more obvious that we're not. And I will never know what it's like to be a black person. I will never know what it's like to go to wake up every day, go to school, go to work, come home. Be a black parent worried about their kids. Be, you know, worried about my cousins or brothers and sisters, my family. I will never know what it's like. And that's the point. That's the point of this. The point of this is to, yes, come together and try to work towards a solution to the problem. But the part of that solution is realizing that we are different. Not everyone is the same. And black people want to be seen for that. And that they don't have the same issues that you and I deal with and that people around the country deal with and the issues that white people, black people, Hispanic people, everybody is different. We're all different. We're all people, but we're all different people. We all have different experiences and we all go through life worrying about different things. And that's the point of this. The point of this is, yes, come together, support black people, support people of color, support different minorities, races, sexualities, everything. But the point is to see them for who they are and not just see everybody as the same person. That's what people want, are protesting. That's why when I go and walk around at night, I don't have the same fears as a black person does. And that's what they want you to know. That's what they want you to see. And they want to be the same and be afforded the same rights that we are. And to not have to walk down the street and be worried about being profiled, to be able to go for a jog and not be profiled. This isn't about social media clout. This isn't about posting what you donated. This is beyond that right. At this point. Yes, actions speak a crap ton louder than words. And actions start with donations. Actions start with support for government. Actions start with informed action. Right? Actions start with informed action. I mean by that informed voting. This starts at the smallest level of government with police, with governors, with mayors, with lawmakers, and it goes all the way to the top at the White House. Everybody. And it's about when don't forget May 30th and May 31st when it comes to November. When we get to November, don't forget this day. Because that's where these protests will lead, is to change. And that's where it starts. People just want to be seen for who they are. And all this kumbaya stuff is great and everything, but ultimately, we're all different, and that's the point. And we all need to be seen as different, and that's what black people want. That's what people of color want. That's what every minority and every person in the world wants, is to be seen for who they are. So yeah, we can come together. We can create change and all that good stuff. But ultimately, you have to realize that I'm not going to know what it's like. Like, a black person can tell me everything they do, and I'm still not going to know what it's like. Like, no, I'll never know what it's like. I'll never know what it's like.
But you won't. I won't. And listen, the phone lines are open. 312-332-3776. If you want to talk, maybe you live in the downtown area. Maybe you live in the surrounding downtown area. Maybe you were a part of the protests. You took in the news coverage. I mean, I watched probably 8 to 9 hours of news coverage yesterday, just trying to figure out what was going on. And you're right. And everything you said is totally right. Because, like, all I can talk about is myself, right? I can never walk a day in the life of a person of color. I can't. But I will never know the fear that they live with on a daily basis. Just walking down the street, like you were saying, I can never understand that. I can have compassion, though. I can have empathy.
Mm-hmm.
I can worry and be concerned about their health. I mean, the one thing to me yesterday, watching all the footage, is we're in the middle of a pandemic, and all of these people coming together for a cause, for fighting for something, and I'm worried about their health, their physical health, because I get the protesting. I get the peaceful protesting. But I'm worried that these people have all been put together in a situation where I get it, you're mainly outside, but you're coming in contact with a lot of people. I was worried yesterday for those people and their health long term, since we're dealing with COVID-19 right now. And I think you nailed it on the head. The number one thing that a person like me can do is to remind people, like you did, to vote in the fall. I can't really do anything else. I can support your protest.
Mm-hmm.
I can support you. I can have compassion. I can have empathy. And I can surely remind you, no matter which way you go, to vote. That's it. You have to register now. Take some time today. Register. Then vote in the fall. Because outside of that, you're right. I will never know what it is like to walk a day in the shoes of someone who's either black, a person of color, someone who's not me, because I can only know what I am. But I can be accepting of others. And I think that's why, you know, as Chicagoans, I was proud of those who protested, and I was proud of the police, the fire, responding, keeping things peaceful. And then when things got ugly last night, that's where you lose the respect of those who are out there just to cause trouble, because that's what we saw. And, you know, living downtown, listen, I live in the South Loop. If you've ever been to Soldier Field, say you drive down Roosevelt on your way to Soldier Field, or you're in that area, every business in the South Loop this morning was broken into and ruined last night. 11 City Diner, Yoke, the different Go Grocers on all the different blocks down there, all ruined. The Trader Joe's, the Target down there. I get it. Those are big corporations. No one really cares for the big corporation. Listen, we're going through a pandemic. People need to get their groceries. All the grocery stores in the South Loop are now gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all I heard last night, the windows were open, were police sirens, fire trucks, you know, fireworks going off in different various places. It just, it was an ugly scene downtown last night. And it's like we can't show up this morning getting to work the way we did and then seeing, you know, just on Lake Street, right around our studios, the two coffee places across the street, both broken into, Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts,
mm-hmm.
the subway gone.
Yeah.
Everything on Lake Street and, you know, across the street. Did you see the footage from the Wynn? The
yeah.
Wynn Hotel?
Yeah.
And their restaurant, Lake and State, mm-hmm. completely demolished. There was a car on fire in front of it earlier in the day. You know, and the Walgreens on the court. Like, everything in the Loop, basically, was damaged last night.
And
everything
what,
in the Loop.
What's sad is, you know, the people doing the looting are not the protesters.
No.
The people doing the looting don't understand that, you know, when we wake up this morning and you're looking at news coverage across the country, it's not about the protesters. It's not about George Floyd. It's about the businesses that have been looted. It's about the chaos from around the country. It's about the fires. It's about the retaliation from police. It's about the National Guard coming in and having to deal with this. It's a shame that the protesters' message is going to fall on deaf ears today, because we are talking about the chaos and the rioting and the looting when the conversation right. still needs to be about George Floyd, about the others that have lost their lives, and making sure it doesn't happen again. I encourage people to, if you find a way to donate whatever you can, I know it's tough times and everything like that, but if you can, find a good place if you feel that way. I'm not going to try to change how anybody feels. If I can, you know, if I can, I hope to, but, you know, support whatever. You mentioned voting. I mentioned voting. Educated decisions. Do the research. We're all sitting at home right now doing nothing, right? Like, get off Instagram and do something, you know? Stop trying to, you know, look at whatever it is you're looking at on Instagram and Twitter and do something. Do something. The actions don't have to be you getting out in the streets. It doesn't have to be you going out and protesting. You can create change from your couch by donating and making educated voting decisions and supporting people of color, supporting Black people, supporting these movements that are peaceful, that aren't looting and rioting and chaos. Not everybody was out there looting and rioting. A lot of the peaceful protesters went home yeah. once the curfew started, but even before the curfew started, you know. And there are more scheduled peaceful protests today. And I hope that the events of last night don't lead to an overreaction to the peaceful protesters today by city officials, by military police, by the National Guard, by the Chicago Police Department. By all accounts, and I'm not informed on everything that happened, but by all accounts, the Chicago police were pretty decent. They kind of let everything, you know, watching the news yesterday, watching ABC, watching the local coverage.
Yeah, I mean,
the police were doing a good job of controlling and not escalating.
If you listen to Lori Lightfoot speak last night, the message she wanted to get across that I heard loud and clear was that they didn't respond until they were provoked in a manner that wasn't a peaceful protest. You know what I'm saying? Like, and she mentioned multiple times people showing up with hammers and different items to try and hurt and injure people. Let's hear from Carl on the west side. Carl, what's up?
Hey, Carl.
Yes, how are you guys? I appreciate you guys taking my call. I wanted to definitely speak on the George Floyd incident. First, I'd like to say apologies to anyone being affected by this. But what we don't understand, me as a Black man on the west side of Chicago, and I appreciate Abdallah saying that he never understands what it is to go through what I go through every day. You don't. And I appreciate that empathy. Yesterday, I was just followed by cops for no reason for 8 blocks. And this is what black people have to go through on a daily basis. I'm leaving the grocery store, but I'm followed. We don't know if this is being taught in their training. There's an unknown factor when it comes to the police and the black community. We don't know if they're being taught this. Again, gangs are being spoke about on the west side and south side and things like that. They're in the suburbs also. They're in the police districts. There are cops who have the same tattoos. They make up their own organizations and things like that. So who's really policing who? If there's supposed to be policing, there's no policing in our communities. It's harassment. Again, being followed, you guys will never understand being pulled over and the fear that goes through a black man, myself, knowing personally, and being pulled out of your car and just being punched in the back of the head because they feel they have the authority to do so. No tickets or things like that. But this is what goes on in the black community on a daily basis. And again, I appreciate you guys' empathy, but the whole injuncture is the laws. We can vote and do all of that, but if the laws stay the same, sir, we're not going to get ahead of anything at all.
Thank you for the call, Carl.
I'm an avid sports fan. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm an avid sports fan. But the only two guys that I've heard say anything was Carson Wentz about 48 hours ago and Aaron Rodgers last year. And Aaron Rodgers said something very minutely about it. And I'm not one to look for handouts and things like that. I'm pretty sure there's a million other black guys who don't want a handout. But the acknowledgement that, yes, there is a difference. Aaron Rodgers can drive down the street, but if I go down that same street, I'm going to be looked at suspiciously for no reason. And this is what goes on a daily basis. And sorry for taking up so much time. I'd like to hear what you guys have to say. Thank you.
Carl, thank you for the call. Be safe, all right, man?
Thank you.
No,
you said it well.
And that's exactly the point that it is trying to be made by the peaceful protesters, is that what Carl said is absolutely right. I can drive down the same street as Carl. I'm not getting pulled over. Carl's getting pulled over simply because of the color of his skin.
Right.
And it's ridiculous that we still have to go through that, but that's the point. That's why black people are fed up. It's exhausting every single day. It has to be. And again, I'm never going to know what that's like. I can talk to as many black people in the world as I want to. I'm still never going to know it until we live in a world where that doesn't happen. And change isn't going to happen overnight. It's not like, you know, the protesters are going to come back and shake hands with the cops and that's going to be it. Like, that's going to be the day. This is going to take a long time. And, you know, changing, like he said, changing in leadership, changing in the laws, that all starts with grassroots organization, with grassroots politics, with grassroots fundraising, with changing from within. Because if we don't change from within the organization, it just branches out to everything. That's why it's called branches of government. It branches out to everything, right? The local government, you know, if there are review boards for these police officers before they're made police officers, maybe this won't happen. You know, the police officer that killed George Floyd had complaints against him. They were never taken seriously. This could have been stopped if there were protocols put in place where these guys could have been reviewed, and you can get rid of the cops that take advantage of their badges, and you can get rid of the guys that give the other police officers that are trying to do well in their community a bad name and a bad reputation, if you have the means to get them out of those positions or not even put them in those positions in the first place. And it all starts at home. So people need to come together, but you need to come together and realize that it's more than just, oh, hey, we're all going to come together and hold hands and everything's going to be good again. This starts with, like the protesters saying, it starts with activism, it starts with donations in the right places, and it starts with putting the right people in government to make these changes and make them permanent. And then maybe we can have change.
You know, this is a sports talk radio station, so sometimes we get feedback to stick to sports. So let me stick to sports for a second. I'm pretty sure Colin Kaepernick was telling us this exact thing in 2016. No one wanted to hear it. Mm-hmm. No one wanted to hear it. Some people did, but there was a loud majority of people that didn't. This is exactly why he was kneeling. This is it. Colin Kaepernick made a statement. There's your sports for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, there it is. He tried to let you know that this was an issue. And it continues to happen and happen and continues to happen. It just needs to stop.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
You can watch this show on Twitch. We're up and streaming this morning, ESPN 1000 Chicago. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. Marcus, on the south side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Marcus?
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing this morning?
We're all right. What's up?
Good. About 3 points that I'm going to try to be quick with. The first question that I have for you is, when we talk about government and kind of transforming or changing within, I've always got 7 different questions that I ask because I've worked for government for quite a few years before I decided to become an entrepreneur. And I ask people 10 questions. Oh, I'm sorry, 7 questions. Do you know your state rep? Do you know your alderman? Do you know your Cook County commissioner? Do you know the governor? When was the last time you've been to a Cook County meeting? When was the last time you went to an automatic meeting? When was the last time you lobbied in Springfield for an issue? Do you even understand the process of lobbying? Do you understand the process of funding, if you want to talk about grassroots organization? I'll just finish asking those questions to a variety of people who want to talk about government. What we have to understand is this thing is bigger than just a vote. This thing takes consistent engagement. And when we talk about the passing of laws, it's just a minimal step. The most effective way to actually influence laws is how to affect how they're being implemented, which is the reason why you have to be consistently engaged, not just once or twice a year, but you have to literally be willing to commit your life. And so the next question that I have is every Caucasian the same? Is every black person monolithic? No, that's not true. We all share differences no matter what the pigmentation, which is what we consider race, but it's just pigmentation because we still have the same body parts. We still have the same physical parts. So when you say you're not black, I would say I differ. Because my thing is who you are is not just a pigmentation. Who you are is deeper than that. It's a mentality. It's a spirit. You have other things that you can access just as much as I do. And so the one question we all have to ask together is, what are we really, really willing to sacrifice, not just give a little change here, not just do this? What are we committed to? And are we willing to sacrifice our lives, literally, physically, spiritually, and mentally, in order to come together to be able to treat each other as equal? And so that's a different type of commitment. And until America gets to that point where we're all willing to stand together and literally give our lives so that we can be equal, we're going to consistently see this thing happen every day, over and over and over again. God bless you guys. Peace.
Thanks for the call, Marcus. We appreciate it.
And Marcus is absolutely right. It's not just going in and voting in November. You know, it's a big part of it, but ultimately you need to be informed of what's going on in your community. You know, like we, you know, the aldermen control the, you know, it's a trickle-down effect, you know, from the governor to the mayor to the representatives to the aldermen to everything, to the going to community meetings. How do you know what's going on in your community if you don't? And I, look, I'm not as engaged as I should be. You know, I'm sure everybody isn't as engaged as they should be.
Yeah,
but ultimately, if this leads to anything, hopefully it's more engagement. It's more people being aware of what's going on, more people being informed about what their aldermen and what their representatives are voting for when they go to these, what the Senate is, what their senators are voting for. He's right. Do you know your congressman? Do you know your senators? Do you know what they're voting for? Do you know, do you support what they're voting for? And if you don't support what they're voting for, find it, you know, vote, make your voice heard when it comes time in November for every election. Don't just vote in the big elections. Vote in every single election and be informed. You know, like half the time when I go into the voting booth and I turn that thing over and I'm like, there's like eight judges on here. They're all Democrats. I don't know. That's on me. That's my fault for not knowing what each one is, right? Because the judges are the ones that, it's so small a detail, but it's such a huge detail that we all have overlooked as a society for so long that we need to do a better job of, that everybody needs to do a better job of. And finding out who controls what and the decisions that they're making, and if you don't like their decisions, finding ways to change that.
Yeah, and being an activist for something, it takes a lot of time and effort, right? So like Marcus's call, he's right. It takes effort to go out and to know this stuff, to do the research, to participate, to attend the meetings, to do everything that Marcus just said. It takes effort. And the truth of the matter is, like, something like this, what took place on Monday, you know, George Floyd being murdered in the street, bubbles up reaction from people. But then do they carry out the activism that needs to follow to then create change? You know, and like that's the part where you wonder what sports plays a role in all of this, right? And like even right now, it's an even stranger moment because there is no live sports actually taking place. You know, we saw it in the past in this city. Derrick Rose wore a T-shirt in pregame warmups to let people know there's a cause worth your effort. You know, that was years ago. Colin Kaepernick kneeling during the national anthem years ago, right? Like, these are moments in sports where athletes are letting you know that this is worth your activism. This is worth your time. This is worth your effort. And don't just get mad when it happened the one time and forget about it. You got to do something. You know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, but it all takes effort, right? And so, like, you have to do your part. And, like, that's why registering to vote is important. Make sure you're all set so then you can partake. Mm-hmm. And maybe, like you said, you go into the booth, you don't really know a whole lot about these people. Maybe take 5 minutes, take 10 minutes. Just, like, learn a little bit of something. Find out who is making things better in your area for you and your family.
The information's all out there. It's not hard to find. We just need to do a better job of paying attention to it, and I need to do it specifically. You know, like, it's, you know, I'm saying we because I need to do this myself, you know, like I, you know, right. Looking at what we're all doing, like just going in and voting for one guy or one girl or one, you know, whatever it is, that doesn't matter, you know, like it's the small government that will lead to bigger change. It's contributing to the right places. It's not worrying about, you know, likes and retweets of your receipt that you posted. It's like, look, if you can't afford to give something, I get it. We're all dealing with tough times, but if you can, people now need it more than ever, whether it's to, you know, help them eat or whether it's to help people, you know, make bail at this point because they were arrested for peacefully protesting and not a part of the looters or something or and like that, you know? So it's an issue. It's not going anywhere, unfortunately, anytime soon. And it's something that we all really need to do a better job with here in this country.
312-332-3776 if you want to talk about it. We are broadcasting live from The Loop right now, downtown Chicago, State and Lake. So with what's going on around us, we'll continue to take your phone calls. We will talk some sports coming up next. Ryan Pace, what did he learn from Sean Payton and the Saints, and what is he trying to implement with the Chicago Bears? We'll hear from the Bears GM coming up next, but if you have thoughts on what's going on in our city, feel free to call us, 312-332-3776.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. The Bears are in a strange spot this offseason, right? Because they have all the pieces in place. They just need some good quarterback play, right? And that's a situation that many teams find themselves in. But I think we as Bear fans look at this team as, you know what, our defense is a little bit better than yours. And we've got a young hotshot coach that's a little bit better than yours. And, you know, if we just get the right quarterback play in there, then this team can be a Super Bowl contender. And I think that's where this offseason is interesting to me, because it seems like if all the pieces click together, then you can really have something special in this 2020 season.
Well, they need a quarterback, Chris, that was better than 28th in QBR, 27th in touchdowns, 21st in passing yards, 32nd in yards per pass gained, and 28th in QB rating. So any improvement would be a little bit
nicer.
Well, we had this conversation. Yeah. I believe we had this exact conversation last season at this time, you know, heading into what would be, off-season workouts. You know, the Bears are going to have some virtual OTAs this week and that kind of stuff. So we talked about this, how you had, going into last season, the Bears were a top-five defense. The Bears had a top-five defense going into last season. They had a little bit worse than middle of the pack. I believe they were 20-something in offense heading into last season. And all we asked for, because we used to look, you had a historic defense in 2018. Turnovers, the ball literally bounced into their hands a few times. You had great defensive play. It was awesome. We figured there'd be somewhat of a regression. Like, there has to be. You just can't have that historic defense. So all the offense needs to do is make up for that regression a little bit and just be in middle of the pack. Be top 15. Be a top 15 offense, and they'll be fine. The Bears, this team could go to a Super Bowl if they had a top 15 offense and a top 5 defense. We've seen worse teams win the Super Bowl. But ultimately, the defense did regress like everybody assumed they would. It wasn't a horrible regression. They're still a top 10 defense, still a Super Bowl caliber defense, a defense you could certainly win a championship with. But the offense regressed as well. The offense regressed horribly. And not only did Matt Nagy look bad, Trubisky looked bad, the offensive line looked bad, everybody looked bad. So now, all we're asking for is the same thing.
Just improve a little bit.
The defense.
Come on,
you know,
offense.
Stay the course.
Improve.
Be a top 10 defense. You know, you added some, you know, players where you had to subtract some players. You know, obviously, some of Ryan Pace's draft picks didn't work out, so you had to add Robert Quinn and whatnot. But ultimately, the defense is still a championship caliber defense by all accounts, assuming there's no injuries. And then all they're saying is Nick Foles, just be that much better. Just be a little bit better than Trubisky. And this team could possibly make a run. Be a top 15 defense, for God's sake. It's about time.
So Ryan Pace on Thursday was on the Pro Football Talk PM podcast with Mike Florio. And the guys were talking, and Mike Florio asked Ryan Pace about what he learned from his time in New Orleans around Sean Payton. What did he learn from Sean Payton that he wanted to implement with the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, I think, first of all, he's very aggressive. So he's not afraid to make hard decisions. You know, he's decisive, and Mickey's the same way, aggressive and decisive with those decisions. No regrets, never looks back, not afraid to think outside the box. But also very conscious of the culture of that team. And I think any time you drift away from that, and it's easy to do, Mike, and it's an enticing to do, but usually when you do that, once you realize you've done that and you've affected the locker room, the damage is already done. By the time you try to correct yourself or release a player, the damage is already done in the locker room. So I think it's being aggressive with the moves you make, not looking back, operating with decisiveness. But then being very conscious of the culture in her locker room, because it's a fine line. I mean, 12-4 to 8-8, it's a fine line. And I think it's because of the people, the staff, and the players you have in your building, being conscious of that.
So that's Ryan Pace talking with Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk's PM podcast. They also talked about what went wrong in 2019 for the Chicago Bears.
I don't think, like in any season, it's never one thing. It's a plethora of things. And we can go through you know, it starts with personnel. It starts with me. There's some tweaks we made in that area. We had a lot of unfortunate injuries last year. I know Akeem going down, that really hurt us on defense. So there's a number of things. But I think, you know, Matt and I talk about details from every area of our building, just locking into the details. I think, you know, that was a factor. But again, I think some of the personnel changes we've made, some of the coaching changes we've made, staying healthy as a team, changing some of our processes. That's all been part of the kind of as we deconstructed last year and figure out what happened. It wasn't just one thing, Mike. It was a number of things. But what I like doing with Matt is as soon as the season ends, we both look at ourselves and, hey, what can we do better? We're both very open with that. We're both very honest with that. And I think it's just been a process to get to this point right now. And that's the one hard part about not all being together right now is I think our team's in a good state of mind. I think everybody's a little pissed off. Everybody has a chip on their shoulder. And I would love to be carrying that momentum through the OTAs and through the mini camps. Unfortunately, we don't have that. We're going to have to pick that up in training camp when that starts, because I do feel like our team is in the right mindset right now.
So that's Ryan Pace on the Pro Football Talk podcast with Mike Florio. A little pissed off. That's the way the Bears have approached this offseason. I like that. I like a team that's a little on edge, a little angry, looking for something to accomplish. You know, the one thing that we heard many times last offseason from Jeff Dickerson or Dan Wiederer when they were reporting here on ESPN 1000 was that this team was very into themselves, really feeling themselves in 2018, hanging into 2019.
Especially the defense.
Like after the 12-4 season, this team thought that they were on the come of becoming Super Bowl champs, right? Mm-hmm. Like y'all lost in the wild card round at home, mm-hmm. yet they felt like they accomplished something. They didn't. And you come out and you follow it up with an 8-8 season, they should be upset.
I'm glad Ryan Pace is finally angry.
Well,
what did it take? It only took that.
How many years
it only
has
took
he been,
Kevin White
GM?
Being a bust. It only took, you know, Trubisky being a bust. It only took Leonard Floyd being a bust. It only took Adam Shaheen being a bust. It only took all these guys that he's had to make up for being a bust. How about all that money and draft capital that he spent on Nick Foles? Is that why he's pissed off? Because it's why I'm pissed off.
Well, I think he's more talking to the performance on the field, not his actual track record of drafting and acquiring talent.
Well, I mean, he should be mad at himself. Can you be mad at yourself?
Of course he should be mad at himself.
He probably still thinks he did a good job.
Chris Black, Adam Abdallah here with you on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app, 312-332-3776. Steven in Dallas listening to the ESPN Chicago app. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Steven?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're all right, man. What's up?
So I'm an Asian American myself. I've listened to your show, and I've listened to your station. And I've called in many times. And I'm also not going to pretend what's happening in this country and walk in the shoes of black people. But obviously this COVID-19 has opened up a new can of worms and wounds to many of us Asian Americans because we're being attacked, racially, because people believe that we carry the virus or we spread them. For whatever reason. Okay? We've dealt with the whitewashing of Asian characters on TV and films for many, many decades. So this is nothing new. And obviously the COVID-19 has opened up a lot of wounds and opened up a lot of issues that this country had been ill-prepared to handle. Whether it's medical testing, racism, and unemployment that is continuing to fall. As an Asian American, this COVID-19 really taught me the institutional racism applies to every people of color like myself. And I'm not going to pretend that it never existed. Of course it existed. Even before George Floyd issues, many African Americans are being attacked and killed by police and other law enforcement. Let's not kid ourselves, okay? And I need people like Black, who's a young white person, to start calling out others within the industry or even other fellow young white people to open and talk about it. And if they pretend that it doesn't exist or if they pander, then you will know where they really, really stand. And it's your choice to whether to be their friend or whether to associate with themselves, or in this case, maybe de-associate with themselves. Because obviously those people would rather settle for status quo that made them money or kept their white privilege them making a huge difference. That's all I have to say. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for the call, Stephen. We appreciate you always listening. And listen, no one tells us what we're supposed to talk about on the show. We know what we're supposed to be doing, top stories, local sports, right? So the forum's there. 312-332-3776. To Stephen's point, you know how I'm trying to make a small difference today? The forum's there for you. If you want to talk, join us.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and to Stephen's point, like, that's what I can control right now. We have airtime till 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. If someone wants to talk, they're more than welcome to talk. We welcome it. You know, that's what I can do. So I understand Stephen's point. And it's not just black people, right? All people of color. It's an issue in this country that we have to face.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, to what Stephen said, and I'm not, as Stephen said, as an Asian American, I'm an Arab American. And, you know, it was after 9/11 was awful. Like the racism, the stereotyping, the everything that came with it for my family, for me, for my relatives. It still happens, but it still doesn't compare to what is going on today. You know, like that stuff comes and goes, you know, it for me, at least for my family, you know, like I don't feel it as much as I did like right after the fact, obviously. And so, yeah, it's still a problem in this country. Of course, it's still a problem in this country. There's like he mentioned in film and TV and everything. And it's just the fact that people just want to be heard. People have a voice. People want to be heard. People want to be seen for who they are. I want to be seen as an Arab American. People want to be seen as a black American, as a Mexican American, as whatever you want to be seen as. You want to be seen as yourself and have people realize your struggles and what you go through and how they will never identify with what you go through. Like saying, yeah, man, I feel you. I get you. You don't. I don't get the struggle that black people face every day. People don't understand what I deal with every day. People don't understand, if you're not a Mexican American, what Mexican Americans deal with every day, what Asian Americans deal with every day, what everybody deals with every day. You don't know what people deal with. And that's the point, is that we're all different. We're all people, though, and we all need to work together as people. This is not a political issue. This is a human issue. We're all humans. We need to realize that we're all different based on race, sexuality, whatever it is. And we all just want to be seen for who we are.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. You can download our podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Search for the Black and Abdallah section right there on the app. All the Black and Abdallah podcasts, including our NBA backstories, where we go in depth on a highlight, a series, something in the NBA's past. We talk about it. Today's edition that will be coming up at 9:30. We will take a look at the 2012 NBA Finals. LeBron gets his first title with the Miami Heat.
Did Chicago fans watch that series?
And the Oklahoma City Thunder lose with the iconic photo of Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden all together watching the Heat win their first title, saying, hey, we'll do this someday. Never happened. We'll talk about that at about 9:35 this morning here on ESPN 1000. Each week at this time, we have our favorite segment of the week. It's called Good Question. We score the hosts at ESPN 1000. The way you get a point is when you ask someone on the phone, a guest, a question, and the guest responds with good or great question, you score a point.
You do.
And the leaderboard for 2020 is?
Tom Waddle still in the lead at 21.
How about that?
Cap with 20 coming in at second place and tied for third. Sylvie and Jonathan Hood at 18. Once again, there can be ground made up, because Tom Waddle was off for 2 days this week.
Okay, so let's see today's edition of Good Question. Yeah, I got a question for you.
Can I get an answer?
It's a final question, bro.
You're going to take
any questions? Do you want me to let me finish talking? You ask me a question, I'm going to answer it. Don't interrupt me, okay? Just leave it plain and simple, all right?
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On a rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
Can I get a question for Can I get it? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
It's the question that drives us near. It's the question that brought you here.
How could you ask me a question like that? What is my opinion of his performance?
I'm on Burgundy?
Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
Dad, I got a question for you. Can I get an answer?
This week's edition of Good Question.
Golf fans have had the luxury of watching Phil and Tiger over so many years.
Best
but
week
for
ever.
Those who don't know much about Brady and Manning's golf game, what can we expect from those two?
Well, a great question.
How are they going to deal with the international players for that would be overseas?
Good question.
Yeah, it's a great question.
Wow. Yes or no? More likely to have a Triple Crown winner this year because of the way it's set up?
Wingo.
Wow, great question.
I'm curious, and the hub cities certainly present those challenges. You mentioned the testing that would be a part of everyone that's in those hub cities based on how the outbreak is in that area at that particular time. But I'm also curious, then, you get to that point, and even if you're testing every day, what happens if there is a positive test? What would that then trigger?
Great question.
That is a good question.
Hey, I know I'm going to expose myself up to grief for asking this question, but I ask it for many who are interested in and really want to know who's coach.
Yeah, I'm going to take 2 days off, but here's one before I leave.
Okay. All right. Good question.
When we see Lance Armstrong giving the middle finger and using the F word on ESPN the week after The Last Dance, and then, you know, I know that there was still an edited version, but they let that uncensored. The Last Dance uncensored. Do you believe there will be a day soon, Michael, where we will see NBA basketball at night, at 8 o'clock at night, the big playoff game where you will hear players swear on the air?
Well, no, I don't think so. That's a great question, Sylvie.
Does one side look worse than the other?
It's a good question.
I guess this is not
Jonathan Hood.
I know that you don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. I'm just wondering whether or not Korea has considered just kind of trickling in some fans here and there, because it's open and
they've
got, of course, the painted on fans. Behind home plate. I wonder, will they start just bringing in a few fans in there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question.
I am curious about your thoughts in The Last
Jonathan
Dance.
Hood,
we have not spoken since some of these stories have come out. Does The Last Dance help
place
or
now.
Hurt the future of the Bulls?
Ooh, good question.
I don't want to jinx it again, Ramon. I'm knocking on wood.
Yeah.
I don't want to jinx it because we've talked about this before.
On the board.
Just when you feel too good about things, tend to fall apart. But if this does happen and they get back on the floor in late July, I'm sure going into the playoffs, when we thought there was going to be playoffs as normally scheduled, that we all had our ideas as to these are the teams that we think would be favored to win the championship.
Right.
Does that change at all? Do those teams change at all based on this layoff? Like, do you think one team that was a contender might be affected more than maybe some others because of the time away?
I think it's a great question.
All right.
So,
point the week.
Waddle's question to Big Cat. Who the hell is Coach Duggs?
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.